collating, analyzing the data. Again, this is very generic. So you call for the data, data are coded, then they are analyzed. If there are of other nature, so voice or, you know, videos or etc., if the FGDs and all are which have you spoken, then that has to come, then FGDs are generally transcribed and then it is sent to the guy who psychologically can evaluate. So this is what is needed during the analysis phase. Yeah, but what is important is to know what is a base on which the analysis is going to happen. So as they say, univariate analysis. So univariate analysis is only on one variable, various other parameters are checked and the measure of or the outcome is derived out of that. Bivariate is a combination of two factors and then the analysis is done to arrive at some conclusive remarks. Multivariate is a more than one variable that determines the output or the selection of your product, etc. If that is the case, then the multivariate analysis is done. This has to be determined right in the beginning of the research. So, research design takes into account these aspects. Accordingly, even your questionnaires are set. So, questionnaire setting has a significance with the nature of analysis that it is going to have. Yeah. So, this is a very important aspect. Write the report. The last step, you have to present your finding. Basically, starts with the executive summary. Then you set the objective or the problem definition in the objective. Then you put the methodology that follows, the how the research was conducted, total sample, actual sample, the planned sample, actual sample, you know, that kind of picture. Finally, you list your findings in a very logical manner. Not necessary that the question, one of the questionnaire should be represented as the first analysis. No, there are relevant areas. So you, after you have analyzed all this questionnaire, etc., then you determine how will you start, with what point you will start, then next point, then the third point. Actually, it should be represented in such a way that as you start putting various points and the conclusion thereafter, you reach closer to your final conclusion. So when you sum up your entire analysis, you should have been able to convey what is a likely derived decision going to be. So as they say, so that is very important. The finding should, even the reader who has not done the research should be able to logically arrive at the finding that you have presented at the end of your analysis. Then you give a conclusion. So then after doing this, you set your conclusion, you establish by due to this product is worth introducing in rural market or not worth introducing in rural market or whatever. So that is what you will sum up with as your research finding. So what we have covered so far is the 7 process steps of doing a rural market research. They were more or less there, but in the research design and all certain rural aspects we have understood, like PRA and those things. So you need to be very conscious about. So even during your answers and all, this should come out. Otherwise, you are not answering a question paper of rural marketing. Then you are answering a question paper of marketing research, which is a generic subject kind of thing. So you should be very careful about writing when you are attempting the rural marketing subject question paper. In that market research specific question is there, then you have to bring out some of the rural marketing aspects that we have covered specifically. Now we come to tools in the rural marketing research. What are the tools that are generally used in any rural marketing research? So we are trying to connect those areas for you. So let's start with, conventional tools are not so effective in rural market due to the lower level of exposure, literacy issues and all. So conventional means like there are a few things, questionnaire or, you know, in-depth interviews or whatever, they may not be very effective. So rural market research have evolved certain other tools also. So that is what we are trying to understand. Some of them are participatory rural appraisal, PRA. So this is what, here the set of participatory large visual techniques for assessing the groups and community resources, identifying and prioritizing problem. A group is formed, people participate, aspect, problem, certain observations are put in front of them, based on which they really relive their life around them, they tell you what happens generally in the village, etc. So that participative feedback by all participating individuals will give you a better understanding of the rural psyche. or rural consumer side. It's a research or a planning methodology in which a local community, with or without the assistance of an insider or that way, where they are collected, their issues are discussed, priorities are discussed, decision making is discussed, post-purchase scenarios are discussed, etc. That you arrive in a finer aspect to understand that entire consumer psyche, including the buying cycle, etc., influencing factors on purchase decisions, etc. So that's what you are then able to derive your conclusions more effectively. So that's a PRA. Some features of PRA that makes it well suitable for the rural research is it encourages the group to participate and discuss freely. Because you are in a known group, community group, or all housewives or male group, female group kind of. So you are able to openly discuss. Information to be processed is collected by the group member themselves. They discuss among themselves and they share with you. It is presented in highly visual form, usually out in the open and on the ground, using pictures, symbols, locally available materials, etc. So they relive their lives to show you what happens, how things happen, etc. Once displayed, the information is transparent rather than hidden. All members can comment on it, revise it, criticize it. So what I was trying to tell you, whatever has been probed or what you want to probe is represented to them in a pictorial manner, on which they will comment, they will relive their life and tell you, okay, bhai, this is how we prefer to do it, or this is how it happens here, and that kind of a thing. So that researcher has to make a note of it, and that brings a conclusiveness to your discussion at the end of a PRA. History of PRA, it's an evolution from a rapid rural appraisal set of information gathering that we have earlier checked. Here, the data collection is more on a qualitative, this thing, but because it is a live experiment, live conversation that is happening with multiple people participating, it is close to kind of reality for you. Rapid rural appraisal development in 70s and 80s are responsible for the perceived problem of outsider missing or miscommunicating with local people in the context of development work. In rapid rural, more scientific approach was needed. Even the interviewer has to be qualified. That led to his own problem. While this PRA helps you to not necessarily have the expert and experienced people, but yes, fairly capable person to understand the discussion that the rural people take. In PRA, data collection analysis are undertaken by local people with outsider facilitating them rather than controlling them. So I, as a outsider from the research agency, with that local help that I have taken to collect the people, he is the one who facilitates. I have given him my questionnaire, your probing material to display, etc. He then gets into doing it. So people empathy with this guy, transparency, openness being so, I have to listen and make my own notings to arrive at a finding. PRA supports the direct participation of the community, with rural people themselves becoming the main investigator and the analysis. And so they are the one who become also the analyst. They themselves become even investigator of the problems or the opportunities, etc. So therefore, it is a very utilitarian tool. Rural people set their own priority, determine needs, they convey their likes, dislikes, etc. in an open and transparent manner. Therefore, the action which comes out of such community-based, PRA-based research are more likely to be effective. Outsiders are there to facilitate the process. They do not intervene in the discussion. PRA uses the group animation and expertise exercise to facilitate the information conversation trigger, collection of information, etc. So that's how the PRA gets done, various representative of pictures or multiple pictures to make them start the conversation to bring out what really happens in their area. So that's the importance of PRA. It is used generally during the rural research, as we have been always telling you, whether it is part of the project dynamic or appraisal or a country economic sector work, the learning by doing teamwork spirit. What it is trying to tell you is, in an area where you want a collective opinion about what is the significance of the product, service, etc. in the market, need for it, current usage behavior, etc. in such scenario, PRA is a better tool. For that reason, a series of open meeting in an initiate meeting, final meeting, maybe you will have to do multiple meeting. Also, when you want to create a multiple stage of data gathering, so you have collected information in this community, then you probably want to create a common understanding. So then in that case also the PRA can be of use. Yeah, involves a team of people working for 2 to 3 weeks on workshop discussions. You should have a person who's familiar with workshops, group discussion triggers, etc. So moderator kind of a role guy. So that's what this being self-explanatory, I will want to probably move forward. Some important PRA tools are the market access or mobility map. You create a map. This allows user to understand the mobility of the consumer in and around the village for assessing the product and service. So you create a picture of market and what is where, etc. And then you allow them to discuss, and then certain aspects come out. Second is the daily activity clock capture, the economic and social activity. So you probably ask them to capture the daily routine. That is one. Chapati diagram is used in consumer behavior studies, especially capturing the importance of and access of any particular unit in the lives of a rural people. Denotes the importance, and the distance from the center denotes the accessibility to the village. So that's a circular this thing diagram in which you put a pointer, and around that a discussion is created. Importance of the distance from the center. So where is what, etc. kind of a depiction will help you to know what is important to them, what is not so important to them, etc. Process map is a step-by-step process, this thing that gets created, and that gives you the representation of how the whole buying decision takes place and the selling happens there. Wealth map, information income flow. So wealth map is like a color-coded maybe diagram. In this village, this is the area where wealthy people live, moderate people live, lower income people live, or say carpenter live, or you know, smith live here, etc. So that kind of this thing. So wealth gap or the job gaps, etc. Map, etc. So that kind of a thing, you know, gets created. You create a gap of skilled versus unskilled, etc. Or specific skilled community people, etc. So that kind of this thing, and then you create a trigger, a discussion on certain points, and you gather information and analyze it. Yeah. Scaling tools for rural quantitative research. And there is a rural quantitative research also that gets done. So what are the tools for that? That is important for us to know. Visual tools that are more appropriate have been developed to capture ranking and rating. Now in a quantitative this thing, as you know, that he has to answer specific things. But I have earlier conveyed you, conventional Western tools may not work at rural market. So clearly, telling them answer between 1 to 5 may not work. Answer whether you are very happy or too not happy, again that will not work. That urban consumer probably understands. So you have to have a way to ask the same question among the rural consumers. So what is used is a satisfaction scale, a simple and creative way to capture the satisfaction of the consumer. I will show you the graph in the next slide. Using face image or similar such method, wherein consumer, the respondent is able to clearly tell you okay, what he feels about your question that you have asked. So this is how satisfied are you with our service. For that rural consumer to tell you that I am very satisfied, whether 5 or 1, is very difficult. Images wise, he may be able to tell you, yeah, I am neither satisfied nor, you know, this thing, or I am very satisfied. He may be maybe easy for him to do that. So therefore, this is what is called as a satisfaction scale. Similarly, you can have a rating scales and various other scales, pictorially, design wise represented, so that visually these guys are able to interpret better and give you correct answer. Agreement scale. So another agreement sample tool that has developed is to capture the agreement. Again, disagreement, agreement represented in a numerical or verbatim may not be suitable. So therefore, again, you can still use the picture diagram here to arrive at an agreement. A ranking ladder. So again, ranking ladder, you know, what is important first, what is important next. You always want to know in your this thing, why are you using this brand shampoo, So you want to know whether it is perfume, whether it is chag that it produces, etc. Whatever that is, the hair, the cleans or the conditioning that it gives you. So then you ask the consumer to rank it. Urban consumers can do it, but for the rural consumer, it may not be easy as much. Therefore, you have to create a proper ranking ladder so that they understand and tell you appropriately. Urban versus rural marketing research. So now what we are arriving at is a difference of urban versus rural. How this is done, I tell you in a very simple term. So for you, it is easy to remember if question comes. Take the 7 steps of the research. For each step, write what is different in urban and in rural research. That will complete your difference understanding, difference between rural and urban market research. We will take one by one, say respondent. So now you are talking about the sample or the respondent. Rural consumers are semi-literate, uneducated, and compared to the urban counterpart. Urban consumer understand processes, they understand ranking, they understand various aspects of research, they are able to communicate better, etc. Their awareness level about various brands and all are being very good. So literacy of an urban consumer is considered as higher than your rural consumer. So that's a difference. Rural consumers on the other end cannot understand very sophisticated terms and Western tools. They cannot verbalize their response. They many times are not able to express in verb or in words very much, but they can tell you in short, in brief, what their feelings are. Also in the rural areas, people surround. You want to only talk to Mohit Bhai, but Mohit Bhai will be surrounded by kids also, or maybe the elders also, or his friends also, vagera. That's how the rural research happened. Even if you have gone to his house and he is alone, but when you start research, he may say, chalo na, bahar aake baithte. And when he comes out and sits, the others gherao, because you are doing something unusual in the area. So others attention comes. So that may lead to distraction when it comes to rural respondents. So you have to be careful about that aspect also. So moving on, next point of difference is the time. Urban life is very time bound, but urban people also respect time. Urban people respect commitment to time, etc. And therefore, if properly approached, if they commit, they will give you the required time, which is not necessarily a case with the rural India. The farm life begins early, the day ends early, they are at a distance, casualness being there, they are not stressed about certain non-relevant aspects like say market research, or you are coming to meet him to market research, etc. are of not so this thing, and they do not really understand the criticality of it, etc. So they will be little casual about it. So as a result, when to meet them, their commitment to time, etc. is a question mark. Accessibility, urban people are easy to access. They are geographically spread. You have samples available in various parts of the city, urban India, etc. Therefore, they can be tapped. You can use appropriate sampling techniques to get your desired number, which is not the case with the rural market. Urban people are familiar also with the research techniques, etc. So they are friendly. They are open for any tool or an instrument. Your in-depth interview can still be conducted on a telephone. They will cooperate if you insist, etc. Or they will meet you at one common place. So those kind of things are possible, which is not the case with the rural consumers. They are relatively difficult to reach because they work somewhere else. Their farm is away from their home, etc. So when you go at a house, etc., they may not be there, or they have gone to city for some seed purchase, or they have gone to city for selling the produce, etc., or wedding or some this thing. So there are various things which keeps them away, and you're going at a particular time, and you are unfortunate. So accessibility is little difficult in rural market. Secondary data source, very elaborately things are mentioned out here. Essentially, in urban market, lot of secondary data is available. So for urban consumers, lot of agencies do lot of research. The data are statistically compiled, available, they are publicized, they are online, digitalized. So with all that, it is probably easy to get secondary data for urban population. which is not the case with rural data. Initiative, though being very old, but still we have not really done enough to extract a lot of rural information. Hopefully the next census, which is supposed to elaborately cover a few additional areas, may give us a better understanding of rural market and its structure, etc. However, for your information, the NCAER, that is National Council for Applied Economic Research, they conduct certain research for rural India. They have their various programs through which they deal with collection of a rural usage pattern, etc. There are private bodies like Mudra Institute of Communication, Ahmedabad. They have their own proprietary exhaustive rural research rating systems and all, which is also consumed by FMCG companies. Yani they subscribe to their report, etc. So that gives you the good insight about what is happening, what is changing, etc. There, yani. Then comes the ORG. Mark setup. These two research agencies have combined and they have formed a consumer panel. There is a panel comprised of almost 20,000 rural households where the consumption habits are monitored, yani, on a day-to-day basis. This covers 16 states and 1,000 villages. You can therefore safely extrapolate the similar consumer behavior for the Indian rural market. So this is another way of doing secondary research for the rural market research. Primary data sources, again, there are various ways that you can approach the urban consumers. Therefore, your primary data sources can be well thought and structured, etc., which is not the case in rural area. In rural area, despite your sample respondent being somebody, but generally the rural head or the mukhya or the main person in the house dominates. So, he takes part in the research and probably the right respondent may not give the answer. So, these are few aspects that need to be really understood even during the challenges that you need to be aware about primary data collection sources. Rural market has started seeing a transformation, means okay, they have started opening their, they are proactive, they support you nowadays. Otherwise, gathering information was always looked upon suspiciously, etc. So, with all those things, yes, research, researcher when they go to the household, they get the desired welcome, but then various other challenges still remain when it comes to doing the primary data. Sampling is easy and possible in a short time within the urban market. Yani, this is despite the varying linguistic and cultural background, sampling within urban centers are good. However, in case of rural, this thing, yani, there is a normal probably normalization issues, yani, because as I told you earlier, you probably have to do non-probability sampling more often. Probability sampling can be done in urban India, but non-probability sampling is more popular in urban rural research. As a result, there is a sampling issue, the difference there. Data collection, the process of acquiring the data in rural scenario differs a lot than the urban this thing. Most markets have much evolved ways of collecting. The format itself is different. So, PRAs we have seen, like you collect people, community, caste, creed base, and then you get into a conversation based this thing. So, this is a data collection, whole approach has to be little different. One need to be really careful. While in urban this thing, you can use scientific Western approach to data collection, etc., which is not the case with the rural market. So, in rural area, instead of detailed questionnaire, maybe you will have to have an open-ended approach to data collection and all. Rural consumers are not so friendly in answering your research-based conversation. So, they are more friendly with pictures, articulation by graphical representation or some other way. So, you will have to bring those kind of aspects in your data collection. So, this table really helps you to articulate the difference between urban and rural consumers. What I have earlier mentioned to you are covered here. So, I am not really getting into explaining them very well one by one. Yani. So, there are a few aspects like we can. So, in terms of accessibility, easy to access through many suffers from the research fatigue. Yani. Accessibility is there for the urban. Rural, it is tough. geographical distance, fragmentation, and various apprehension creates that barrier. Secondary data, as I told you, very easily available for urban, but not for rural. Very few companies have ventured into that. Primary data, again, here the categorization and all is not so feasible. So the kind of sampling and all also gets affected. Here, because people are available, you can have the kind of data collection approach. For data collection also, you have a few force available, experts available, which is not the case in the rural. Sampling, as I told you, responses are from the relatively homogeneous group. You can practice different sampling, probability, non-probability, etc. While in this, rural India, mostly it's an heterogeneous group and you work on non-probability sampling more. So, that is on its own impact. Yeah, data collection, we have just discussed, in rural area, it has to be more participative approach, requires a visually powerful answer tools, and so that they give you right answer, which is not the case with the urban this thing, because they understand, they are able to give you a right answer using the verbatims, etc. They understand rating, ranking, you know, scales, etc. So that's the difference. So we have understood the difference in market research. As I have earlier told you, you need to follow the seven step process steps, in which you have to write what is there for the urban, what is there for the rural, will bring out the difference very clearly. Remember the last table very well, so you will be able to articulate. Coming to rural research business, essentially it is just to give you an idea about how the rural market research business is structured. Just to give you an idea, that total India's market research is estimated to be worth about $40 billion. Out of which only 10 to 15% is the rural market research business. So you can understand that it's a small element in the total market research business. It has its own reasons. Within the growing importance of the rural market, the corporates are now assigning more significance to the rural market research. But it will take quite a long to really get a sizable share of this thing. The main players and the agencies who are involved in doing the rural market research starts with NCAER, primarily a very strong body and being involved into it from long. AC Nielsen, ORG, Mark, they have created their significance in the rural market research. They are also well known in urban research, consumer research, etc. Sampark Hyderabad, that is Mudra, that has been taken over by Sampark. It's another leading agency in the rural research front. MART, ORC, and Rural Communication Marketing Interactive. These are some of the names. Medicine is also a known name. Their presence is there in the rural market research business as such. Some smaller firms, however, are doing a much better business than the large recognized organization. It has its own reasons. Size of the rural market is small, so very large research agencies have not really ventured into it. Big agencies do not have the touch. You have to have a rural touch, right from sampling, understanding to formation of the question and etc., where the rural touch matters, which is good among the small time agencies who have been there for a long time and they have a rural touch. So they are able to plan various things, develop questionnaire, sampling, data collection activity in a much, much better way than probably very sophisticated large research agencies. The core strength of the big agencies has always been the quantitative research. Rural market research is more dependent on a qualitative way of data research. So that's also a reason why small time group companies or in research has been doing much better in the rural areas of market research than the very well known international or nationally known market research agency who are very popular among the urban research. But in terms of rural research, they tend to probably lag behind the small time market research agency. They are popular because of their touch to the rural India and their ability to articulate the qualitative research much better. So friends, we have completed also understanding of the business, market research business in rural market research. So I have covered the seven steps of rural market research. I have touched base on the difference there between the urban research and the rural market research. I have indicated to you that you have to remember those seven steps. and against that you have to write what is different in both this, so that that will really answer your understanding about the difference in the rural market. We have covered the way various market research agencies are present in rural market research. So with this, we complete this subject on market research in rural India. Thank you, friends.